But zoos can be a dangerous place to work, and I found some instances just in May, the end of May, May 29th. A zookeeper in Sydney, Australia was mauled by two lions. She survived, but with serious neck and head injuries. In July of 2014, at the same zoo in Sydney, there's a zookeeper who was feeding the crocodiles. And one of those crocodiles latched onto his wrist and pulled him into the water. He was able to shake free and jump out of the water, and he was okay. In April 20th of 2019, a zookeeper in Kansas was attacked by a tiger. In March 1991, at the San Diego Zoo, a zookeeper was hurt when he was caught between two battling Asian elephants. Then in October of 2018, at the Taipei Zoo in Taiwan, a camel stuck its head through the bars of a holding cage and bit a zookeeper. Anyway, you could find a lot more stories. I don't mean to scare the little kids about going to the zoo. They're probably like, never again, right? But you can find a lot of stories about animals and how dangerous they are, especially when people are working with them and working closely with them. And I think part of that is that maybe they get kind of familiar with these animals, right? They get to know their name and they get to know their personality, and they spend a lot of time with these animals. And we know it only takes a moment of distraction, right, for something to happen and things to go from happy to dangerous when you're dealing with these sort of animals. And despite how nice it is for us to go to zoos and see these animals, it still can be a very dangerous place for these people to work at these zoos. And tonight in John chapter 17, Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples, and he's talking to them about the line of work that they were going to go into as disciples. And it was the line of work that Jesus Christ was in, and it's also the line of work that we have been called to. And Jesus knew about this, right? This is what he had done for his life in obeying the Father and preaching. So he knew a lot about this. And in this passage, in this the middle of his prayer, he brings up some considerations, three considerations that we're going to see tonight. And he does that in prayer as he prays to his Father because he really cares for his disciples. And I think this comes out in this part of his prayer, how much he really cares for them. If we look in right in verse 9, he says, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me." He prays for them, showing his care. He talks about verse 10, that all mine are thine and thine are mine. He talks about his relationship and his possession of these, that they were his responsibility. God had given these disciples to him, and he cared for them. And then we also see it in the fact of verse 11, how he says, right now I'm in the world, but in a little bit I'm leaving. And so he says, I'm committing them to the care of my Father, right? So I'm committing that the Heavenly Father will keep them and will care for them. And we see his specific care for them as he passes care of them to his Heavenly Father, right? He didn't just leave them to go. He said, I want them to be continually cared for. And we see all of this. And as he prays, he has some things that he's considering, three considerations. And I want us to see those as well tonight, because they're really in regard to the line of work that we've been called to. And in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, we're told this, "Be sober, be vigilant." Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But it says that we need to be sober and vigilant, or we need to be aware of these things. And that's, I think, why Jesus Christ brings them up in, even as he prays to his Father and as the disciples here, because he wants them to be aware of them. And it's very easy for us to be ignorant of things, spiritual truths. And it's also easy for us to be misinformed about these things. And both of those can have very serious consequences for us as Christians, if we're ignorant of these things, if we're misinformed about these things. And in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11, it says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul," it says, "discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee." And I think both of those, ignorance and misinformation, come from a lack of Bible in our life. A lack of us really considering what the Bible has to say. And so we're going to do that tonight. So three areas of consideration. And when I say consideration, I mean we're considering what the Bible has to say. Not our opinion, not what someone else says, but what God has to say about those. So our first consideration, Jesus wants us to consider, number one, our environment. He wants us to consider our environment. So I want us to start in verse 11 and see this. Verse 11, Jesus said, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." He said, these are in the world. Now, I know having smartphones, I think, has definitely made us less aware of our surroundings, right? So I want to give you a little test this evening. So everybody close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. What color tie am I wearing without opening your eyes? Can anybody remember? All right, open your eyes. How many of you got it right? Some of you did. All right, close your eyes again. Let's see. What color shirt is John Bergen wearing? He's walking around. All right, did anybody miss that one? Joe, you didn't seem to answer. Yeah, I mean, it's easy to miss things. And maybe you guys are smarter than average, more observant than average. Right, but it can be easy to not be aware of all the things that are going around on around us. And it's one thing physically to be unaware. How about spiritually? Right? There's danger in that, in not being spiritually aware of what's going on around us. And by that, I mean this, that we have a constant sense of how spiritually, two things, spiritually different and dangerous this world is for us. Spiritually different and spiritually dangerous. In regard to the world being different, it says in verse 16 of our chapter, it says, they, speaking of the disciples, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And this was something Jesus also referenced back in John chapter 15, about being of the world, that specific phrase. And that has the idea of being like membership, right, of the world. We could talk about being like of the NRA or of these different organizations. And all of them, when we talk about that, it means that there's something that unifies them, right? There's a unifying characteristic. It's of the NRA. What's that? They're pro-gun ownership, right? That's their unifying characteristic. We could talk about of the Navy. What's that unifying characteristic? Well, they've sworn an oath, right, to the government to serve in the Navy. We could say of the state of Connecticut, the unifying factor is you are in the state of Connecticut, right, your location. But when we talk about being of the world, right, the unifying characteristic there is that you are given over to the love and the lusts of this world for earthly things, right, and a desire for earthly gain, what you can get down here. And of course, we know that the Bible talks about that, right? It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, right? Those things are of the world. It talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. John says, those are of the world, and we are not to love that. So it's that being of the world is, and it's not even whether you're saved or unsaved. It's more specific than that, and generally I think being unsaved, this goes hand in hand with that. But it's this love and a lust for what this world has to offer, the gain that we can have down here. And Jesus looked at his disciples and said, they're not of the world. Even though they're in the world, that's their physical location. He says, they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And I want us to look in Philippians chapter 3, if you'll turn over there with me. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, here's what Paul says. And Paul is really narrating this transition from being of the world to being of Christ, to having the same desires and passions and pursuits as Jesus Christ had. And in Philippians 3 and verse 7, he says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of Christ by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." And verse 12, he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And Paul, we didn't read it, but Paul listed all these things that he pursued after, all these things that he loved and were his desire. And really, we could go through, we could say, you know what those are? Those are the lust of the flesh. Those are the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Those three categories. That's what Paul pursued after. But he said there came about this change. And now he says, I don't follow after those. Those things are not gain for me anymore. He says, I count them loss so that I can gain Christ. And he says, now I'm not of the world. I am of Christ Jesus. And we have to consider this difference in our environment. Because while we're in the world, as Christians, we should not be of the world. And we have to be aware of that difference. And it's very easy for us to slip into that same mode of desiring the things that the world has and that the culture pushes. And we start to become less and less of Christ and more of the world, liking those things. We need to be aware of the difference in our environment. But not only that, not only is it a different environment, but also we need to be aware that it's a dangerous environment. So back in John chapter 17, he says in verse 14, he says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. But that's not what I want to point out tonight in regards to the world being dangerous. I want us to see verse 15, where he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. From the evil, and the way that is written in the Greek, it could be the evil or even the evil one. And in 1 John, John translates it multiple times, four times, the evil one. And I think it's written that way on purpose, that it could be either one, because really it's both for us. Both of those hold danger, whether it's the evil and the wickedness of the world or whether it's Satan, the wicked one himself, as he is walking about in this world seeking whom he may devour. And in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13, Jesus prayed this. In his example prayer, he said, lead us not into temptation. What's the next part? But deliver us from evil. Because Jesus understood. He knew the evil that was in the world. He knew the power of Satan in this world. He had been through temptation. He had faced those things. And he understood probably more than most. I'm sure more than most. Definitely more than most. How dangerous that world is, and how dangerous our world is. And we have to consider the danger that's all around us, not physical danger, but spiritual danger, danger to us as Christians. And for the believer, there's not a threat to the eternity of the believer in this world. There is nothing that threatens our eternity if we're saved. But there is a threat to our effectiveness as believers. And as ones who have been called to be disciples and to do what God wants us to do, there is a very real threat to how effective we can be and how much we can really do the work of God as He wants us to. And that's what this evil is. It's a threat to that. It's there in all of these temptations threatening to take away the power of God working through us because of wickedness. And we need to consider that. So we need to consider our environment, that it's different and that it's dangerous. And we need to be aware of that. But the second thing Jesus wants us to consider is not just our environment, but he also wants us to consider our sanctification. So look in verse 17. After Jesus says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, he says this, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He also said in verse 15, he said that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So considering our sanctification. And when he says in verse 15, he asked the Father to keep them from the evil. Verse 17 is expanding upon that, right? Sanctify them, right? Purify them, make them holy through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Lately, I've seen pictures of Easton Crafton on Facebook, and he was, you know, they got some honeybees, and so they've been doing that, and he's out there working with these bees, but he's doing it in a full bee suit, which, hey, I understand, right? And he's probably braver than some people here. Going, I don't care, bee suit or no, I'm not going near those hives. I'm not doing anything with those honeybees. But he's out there, and he's working with them and doing all that sort of stuff. And we understand, right, that he's in that bee suit, because none of us, well, the most intelligent of us, are not going over there without that bee suit, trying to work with those things and moving them around and all that sort of things. Because we know what bees can do, right? We've all been there. We've gotten stung by honeybees just walking around, or, you know, wasps or hornets or any of that. We understand that when they sting you, it hurts. They've got that toxin in their stinger that they inject right into you, and it's painful. But here's the thing, that toxin, it's not a problem for you when it's just inside the bee, right? I mean, that's no problem. They can fly around all they want with the toxin in them. The problem comes when I get that toxin inside of me, right? When they inject that by their stinger into my skin, right? That's where the problem comes about. And for the believer, the danger for the Christian, as we just said, is that there's evil in the world. The damage comes about when we let the world get into us, right? That's when damage is there. We look around and we see all the evil that's in the world, and we know that the threat is there, right? Like there's the threat of getting stung. The threat is there, and we know the danger of this world for us through temptation. But the damage takes place when all of a sudden we allow that evil and that wickedness to have a place in our heart and to have a place in our life. And in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, we're told, be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed. Don't be like them. Don't let them assimilate you. Don't become like the world. What does it then say? It says, but be transformed, right? Be like Jesus Christ. And that's this constant battle that's being waged in our environment. And even as we consider that, though, Jesus wants us to consider our sanctification, that which keeps us from the world. Sanctification is the opposite of sinfulness. And he says how? In verse 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so there's really two things we get from this verse. Number one, he says that sanctification comes through God's word, right? Sanctify them through thy word is basically, if we squeeze that verse together, what we'd get. It comes from the word of God. Our protection is related to our devotion, the time that we spend with God in his word. Right? There's a connection. And the Bible makes it clear. There's a connection between how far we are from the world and how close we are to Jesus Christ through his word. And we've got to understand that. We've got to remember that. That the time we spend in the word of God is keeping us close to Jesus Christ. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. But also, what we also need to see and understand this about our sanctification is that Jesus Christ asked this as a request. Did you see that? He says, sanctify them in his prayer to the Father. He doesn't look at the disciples and say, sanctify yourself. And it's consistent through Scripture that it says they are sanctified in reference to believers. And it uses that passive tense where the action is being done to the subject. It's not that we are sanctifying ourselves. It's that God sanctifies us. And that's important. It's important that we remember that this is the work of God. This is the power of God in our lives to cleanse us and to keep us holy and to sanctify us. And we can't fall into the trap of thinking that we are the ones that keep ourselves pure, or that we are the ones that keep ourselves holy. Because the proverb says, pride goeth before destruction, and haughty spirit before the fall. And the Bible tells us, though, it says that we need to spend time in the Word of God. But even as we do that, we understand that it is the work of God to keep us holy. You know, we sing the song, Trust and Obey, right? Trust and Obey. And that's the two things. They go hand in hand. Trust and obey. We obey, but we trust that it's God that's going to do that. And many times we sing that, but in practice, we live, obey and obey, and I'll be sanctified. Obey, and I'll be holy. And that's what we've really focus on, and we've left out the part that I need to trust. I need to depend upon God for this sanctification. That it's not my works that are keeping me pure. It's not my works that are keeping me holy. It's God. It's God that's sanctifying me. It's God that's preserving me. It's God that's giving me ways out of temptation. It's God that is keeping me from these things. And God blesses trusting obedience. God blesses trusting obedience. When you trust God and you follow what He says, He will bless. And one of those ways He blesses is through sanctification, through keeping us. And that's why Jesus prayed and He said, Lord, He said, Heavenly Father, keep them. Keep them from the evil. Verse 17, He said, sanctify them. He didn't look at the disciples and say, you better work harder. You better do more. He said, you trust that God is going to do this as you follow Him. So we need to consider our sanctification. But then the last thing I want us to see tonight is that we also need to consider our mission. So verse 18, if you look there with me in chapter 17, verse 18, He says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. We have to consider our mission. And it's interesting that really the only description of our mission in this passage that we're given is the second part of the verse. For the first part, He says, the first part is the explanation. Second part of the verse, He says, I have sent them into the world. And He says, verse 18, the first part, as thou hast sent me into the world. So that's the only description we get right here. As Jesus says, as I have been sent into the world. And really, that's all we need to know, right? We need to know how Jesus Christ was sent into the world and what Jesus Christ did in the world as He was living on earth. Because that informs us then of how we need to serve. And it informs us about our mission. In John chapter 9 and verse 5, Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, Jesus said to His disciples, He said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So Jesus said, I am come a light into this world. And He looked at His disciples and He said, you are the light of the world. And that's what we find, right? This pattern. And that's really what this series, The Word Made Flesh, has been about. As He lived, so we live. What He says, we say. What He did, we do. And it's this setting Jesus Christ up as the model for us, as our example, saying, I'm going to do what Jesus Christ did. And using Him as our example. And it's the same thing when it comes to our mission of reaching this world with the gospel, being the light of the world. We want to do it as Jesus Christ did. And the closer to the way Christ did it, we can do it, the better. Because there is power in that. We see the power in the life of Jesus Christ, and we say, you know what, I want that same power. And that power comes from doing things God's way, from doing things the way Jesus Christ did that. But that's our mission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's the reason that we are in this world. That's the reason we're here. That's the reason that Jesus Christ said, even as I leave, He told His disciples, He said, you are going to stay. That's the reason that we are here, that we've been allowed to remain on this earth for a time, because we have this mission. That's why we're in the world. But our mission is also why we're not of the world, because we understand that to really do the mission the way God wants us to, we have to be different. We have to be separate from the world. We can't reach the world by being like the world. We reach the world by being like Jesus Christ. And that's why we can't be of the world. That's why we have to be kept from the evil. That's why we have to be sanctified so that we can do what God wants us to do, so that we can do that mission. But we need to always consider that mission, right? Our entire life needs to be viewed through the filter of the gospel and the gospel mission, right? Every area of our life, we need to consider how that fits into us doing the work of God that He's called us to. And as I was thinking about this, we can have four categories for the gospel mission. And we can then take those four categories and see how our life and the areas of our life fit into those. The first would be our testimony, right? Because we need to have a testimony. And some areas of our life fit into that. Us having a testimony of Jesus Christ. The second area would be preaching the gospel. Preaching, actually going out and sharing the gospel with someone, using the voice and the message God has given to us to tell about Jesus Christ. So there's testimony, there's preaching. The third one would be preparing. Because there's ways in our life that we prepare ourselves to go out and preach the gospel. Right? Of us getting ourselves ready to for those times of testimony and for those times of preaching. And then the fourth category would be enabling. Of us in different ways enabling someone else. And this would, we could say, be preparing someone else to go and preach the gospel. An easy one to think about would be supporting missions, but also just our influence on people around us. We think about our children or our church family. The things that we can do can enable them and help them their testimony and preaching the gospel. But those four categories, and we should be able to look at our life and say, you know what? Here's really my purpose in what I'm doing. Because I see the gospel, and I see the gospel mission that I've been called to. And so I'm taking my life and I'm categorizing it into these things so that I understand as I do what I do that I have a purpose, an eternal purpose. I'm not just doing it for the sake of doing it. I'm doing it because I'm doing it for the Lord and for what He has called me to do. And that's why I say everything in our life needs to be viewed through this filter. And we could say viewed through these categories, saying I'm considering my mission and all that I do. I haven't forgotten what Christ has called me to do. But I'm keeping that in focus. I'm keeping that in my mind. So as Jesus prayed, He had these three considerations, these three areas to consider. And He said that we need to consider our environment, that it's different, and it's dangerous for us with the evil in the world. We need to consider our sanctification, that it comes from God through His Word, and then we need to consider our mission to reach the world with the gospel. You know, I said at the beginning that zoos are a dangerous place to work, but there's one profession that that in America is considered the most dangerous profession in America, and that is logging. You know, we were out here yesterday working with the wood, and we are very safe for all you that are concerned. We have lots of precautions. But logging, and you can understand, right? There's guys out in the woods, and they're dealing with really heavy objects, right? Knocking these trees down and cutting them down. They're working with very sharp tools, and there's heavy equipment that they're working with. And those add up to being very dangerous for those guys that are out there. But they go out there and they do this. And I think I'm sure when they're out there on the job, they're trying to stay very focused on what they're doing. Because it's in those quick moments of distraction where they're not paying attention that injury happens. When they get distracted from how dangerous that environment is that they're in. And maybe they've gone for years without any injury, and they get to thinking, you know what, I know how to handle all of this, and it's not really that dangerous of an environment. It's in that time where they forget how dangerous, and they forget where they actually are, that injury takes place. And I think if they get distracted from what they're supposed to be doing out there, and from the task that they need to really have their full attention be given to, when they get distracted from that, the injury happens. And for us tonight, it's that same way. We can't let ourselves get distracted and forget the sort of environment that we live in. And maybe tonight we've gotten away from just how different this world is. And maybe we've forgotten just how dangerous and how damaging the evil of this world can be if we let it get into us and become a part of us. We also can't get distracted from what we've been put here to do, from the mission. And maybe we've forgotten that tonight. Maybe we've gotten away with a lot of other things that maybe they're good things, but they're not what God has called us to do. And we really need to get back to focusing on that. But I really want us to close with this thought, because in chapter 17, I want to keep coming back to this, that this is a prayer that Jesus Christ prayed to His Heavenly Father, because that's important. And I think if we miss out on that fact, we're missing out on a lot of what this passage is trying to communicate to us. So the thought I want to close with is this: we need to trust our Savior, because that's what Jesus Christ is doing. He's praying to His Heavenly Father, and He's trusting His Heavenly Father about these matters. He's communicating them to His Heavenly Father in faith. And He's doing that One, because it's a real communication, but also it's an example to the disciples and to us that we need to trust and that prayer needs to play a big part of this for us, in us remembering. And as we consider these things, they are going to lead us to prayer. As we really consider the environment and our sanctification and our mission, they are going to drive us to pray and to ask for God's help and to drive us to our knees, because we understand how helpless we are in this and how at risk we are in this world by ourselves, and how unable we are to complete this mission, and how unable we are to sanctify ourselves. And when we really consider that, as we take these thoughts and we run them through our mind, it's going to then drive us to say, I am so unable, and I need Jesus Christ. And that's really what I want us to leave us with tonight, even as we consider all these things. So listen, consider this. Consider your environment, consider your sanctification, consider your mission, but most of all, as we think about all that, let's consider Jesus Christ. Let's close with prayer.